Bibles, and we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 15 through 17 in unison. 15 through 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. And we'll read this in unison, starting there in verse number 15. Pause any punctuation. Ready? Begin. "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them, and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." Verse number 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And I'm going to read Galatians chapter 6, verse number 15. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 15. The Bible says, I'll just read this. "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." And let's pray. God, we thank you so much, Lord, for the new creature, Lord, the new life that you can give to us. Lord, I thank you for that abundant life. I ask you, please be with us this morning, Lord. Would you be with our pastor as he preaches? Lord, I've already been encouraged. I've already been lifted up by being around the fellowship of the believers. I ask you, please help us, Lord, as we go in prayer, Lord. Would you just continue to be with your service today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to help you today. Keep your finger there. I want to start, and then we'll jump right back into the scripture. We humans are all born into sin. Matter of fact, we're not just born into sin, we are born as sinners. Did you know you don't have to teach a child to sin? It comes naturally. And if they're of the male persuasion, it comes even more naturally. Trust me, I know. Further proof that sin brings death is that death is not a respecter of age. Not at all. Folks, I've been preaching for 44 years. I've been in the ministry full time for over 35 years. Brother James, I've been to the hospital and had to take a little baby out of a mama's arms that was blue in death. Just a few months old. Had to hand that baby to a nurse to take to the morgue, and then just a few days later preach a funeral to a casket that was the size of a little igloo cooler. I've been there. I helped with the funeral of a missionary couple to Russia. Their little 18-month-old had fallen out of a third-story window because there was only a screen in the window, and fell to his death and brought the body back to the States, and had to preach a funeral to a casket just that long. Death is not a respecter of age, because the wages of sin brings death. Listen to me very carefully. God does not bring death. Sin does. Time we quit blaming God for our loved ones who die. It's sin, not God. 4 years ago this December, I stood right here and preached my mother's funeral right here. God didn't take my mama. Sin did. She had me. Trust me. Sin took my mama because she was a sinner too. Now, I miss my mama. But guess what? As my little booklet that I put together, that sermon that I preached just weeks later, my mama didn't die. She passed from death to life. She didn't go from life to death. She just really started living. She started eternal life. This is temporary. What we call life, God calls death. Now, let me help you today. God tells us that when a person gets saved, everything changes. They go from a dead spirit to a living spirit. man who is lost is a body and a soul with a dead spirit. And it takes being born again, John chapter 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. That's not talking about, as Nicodemus said, going back into his mama's womb and be born the second time. No, it is a spiritual birth. But not only that, there's also an adoption after the person gets saved, because his spirit was reborn, but that means his body and his soul is still sinful. So according to the book of Romans chapter 8, he adopts us and comes and adopts our soul and our body so that all parts of us could go to heaven someday. Amen. Isn't getting saved wonderful? Amen. Now, but I want you to notice something. Now, by the way, I'm thankful for the day I got saved. 53 years ago. Shut up, Brother Scott. It's because you're still wet behind the ears doesn't mean anything. I remember as a 4.5-year-old boy, a man, and you got to realize that was back in 1971, 1972. There was a man that had come back from Vietnam with one leg, and he literally had a peg leg from his knee down. That man got up to a bunch of kids in junior church, like Brother Joe is back here, and preached the snot out of us about a place called hell. Say, he scared you. Yep, he did. I remember walking over to my Sunday school teacher and tugging on her dress and said, I don't want to die and go to a place like that. And we knelt down at a little chair. She opened up the Bible and showed me what the Bible said. And as a 4.5-year-old boy, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Do you know that there hasn't been a day in 53 years I'm not saved? Amen. I'm just as saved as Jesus Christ is, because it's not dependent on me, it's dependent on Him.
Amen.
Now watch this. I don't even know that Sunday school teacher's name. I thought she was old. She was probably 30. I have no idea. I don't know her name, but I tell you this, one day when I get to heaven and I find out who she is, she's going to get a big old hug. And there's going to be a long line of people in line waiting to hug that lady. Because God used that one lady to see me get saved. I got into the ministry, and hundreds of thousands of people have been saved because of that one Sunday school teacher. Now listen to me. We read in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, whenever you see the word therefore, go before to find out what it's there for. We read in verses 15 and 16, it's about getting saved. It talks about the love of Christ constrains us, and he died for all, that we which live should live in him by the gospel. Now, it's verse 17, therefore, because you've been saved, if any man be in Christ, he is, he doesn't become, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things become new. Now watch this. We read in Galatians 6 verse 15. You didn't turn there, but Brother Anthony did. But it says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. Talking about religion. Religious traditions don't do anything for you. But a new creature is by Christ Jesus. Now, God says that the old life is to pass away. Can I help you? That term, it means a lot of things to people. It literally means to die. When someone has died, we often say they passed away. God says to them that are in Christ, old things pass away, behold, all things become new. We're to let the old things die off and open up to a new world. Now, watch this. This is where it gets fun. I know something about people. I've dealt with millions and millions and millions of people. I've preached in 34 states. I've been in the ministry full time. There's, you don't understand. I mean, millions of people. I've knocked on almost 2 million doors in these years. In states all over this country, and just about every house in Berkeley and Jefferson County, I've knocked on personally. It's either duck or pucker, let me tell you. And it gets exciting, but something I know about people, everybody likes new things. Somebody gets a new truck, new car. They're happy when you say something about it. Who wouldn't like, you know, people like their new phones. People like a new vehicle. Ladies get something new in their wardrobe, and they like being told how pretty they look in whatever it was. And no, it does not make you look fat. Did I get out of that one? Whew, all right. Who wouldn't like a new gun or a new bow? For some of you, it's a new pair of shoes. Not me. Boots maybe, but not shoes. But we all like new things. You know, who wouldn't want a new mother-in-law? Wait a minute. God says when we get saved, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, that means this: the old dies. The old man is to die. I'm not talking about somebody, you know, talking about yourself, our flesh. And the ways of the old sinful life, by the way, it's only the sinful life that can die. For the wages of sin is death. So the only thing that can die are the sinful things of our past. Somebody owes me a pizza. No, I'm teasing. Now, listen to this statement very carefully here. Why do we live so much of our lives trying to go to the cemetery and dig up the casket and pull out the dry, dusty bones? My mom's less than a mile down the road at Pleasant View Cemetery. Do you think I want to go down there and dig a 6-foot hole and open up that box and see her body right now? No. That's not my mama anyway. She's in heaven. But many of us live our life like we go to the cemetery every day, trying to live the old life. The old habits. God said when you got saved, they were to die. And they are dead. By the way, that's why they don't bring the pleasure they once did. Now, listen to me carefully. Why do we like new things in everything in life except life itself? I decided a long time ago I was going to enjoy life. And I do. I enjoyed being a kid most of the time. Those of you that know my dad, I didn't enjoy it as much as others, but but I enjoyed being a teenager. I enjoyed being a college student. Not very much, because I didn't want to do it again. But enjoyed it enough to get done. I enjoyed being young and married, and then having children. I was going to say the teen years of my children. I endured those years. Folks, I had Josh. Come on now. Now, wait a minute. I decided a long time ago, as my children started getting older, that I was going to enjoy being a grandparent, and I love being a pawpaw. As we sat at the house last night, Melinda and Michael called, and Hudson started talking to my wife. I said, "Hey, boy." And all I heard was, "Hi, pawpaw." There's nothing. You say, "Well, that means you're old." I don't care. I'm happy. I don't give a flip what the calendar says. I'm doing fine. I enjoy that. You say, why? Because I decided I was going to enjoy every part of life. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't want to go back and ever be a teenager again. I have some sense. I don't ever want to be a young married person again, because I made a lot of mistakes back then. I have less knots on my head now than I did then. You see, We have to understand something. When we get saved, the old is to pass away, and behold, all is to become new. Now, here's the statement. I love this. Are you ready for it? The whole sermon revolves around this one statement, and my legs are going like crazy, not because I got to go to the other room, but I'm excited. There is no past in salvation. Brother Larry, there's no past in salvation. All the things you did before you got saved, I watched him and Sherry walk down that aisle years ago and trust Christ as their Savior. Brother Larry wasn't always the nice guy you know now. Just ask Sherry. can I tell you something? But once he got saved, old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen. Guess what? In God's registry, the past is gone. It's gone. Matter of fact, God said, I'll take care of the past, the present, and the future. Now, you'll suffer consequences for sin here on earth. But you're not going to face judgment for it. And in salvation, there is no past. God wipes away our dead past and gives us eternal life. And it begins the very moment you trust Christ as your Savior. Amen. Folks, there's a song. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Guess what? I don't feel at home in this world. I'm just passing through. Can I tell you something? There's no past in salvation. Everything is eternal future. I've used this illustration so much, but it's so true. If you did nothing but drove your car and did nothing but look in the rearview mirror, you're going to crash. Looking back only causes you to crash in the future. Then why in the world would you live your life in the rearview mirror? Why do we feel guilty about the past? Guess what? If you're saved, God says, what past? So I see his future. Some of you are holding past against somebody. Quit acting like the devil. That's sinful. You say, preacher, yeah, hang on, it's going to get tougher. The devil and the flesh focus on the past. Salvation focuses on the eternal. I'm going to say it. The psychologist wants to blame everything in your past for what you're doing wrong today. You know the difference between a psychologist and a psychologist patient? One medication. Man studying man will say, well, your dad didn't take you to enough ball games when you were a child, and because of that, you have this problem today. What a bunch of garbage. Well, your dad paddled you, so he warped your psyche. Well, he never called it a psyche, but it got warped a few times. Trust me. Now, wait a minute. It may have got warped, but it warped me to the right, not to the left. Amen. Too many times we want to analyze and say, well, I'm this way because of my past. If you got saved, there is no past. It's all future. What are you doing living in the past? Well, under the circumstances, we'll get out from underneath them and get on top of them and stomp them a while. I don't live under the circumstances. I was at the doctor a couple years ago getting a checkup, and she said, Pastor, you have a pretty high-stress job, and you're going through, we were building the building and everything else. She said, how in the world is your blood pressure and your EKG almost perfect? She said, you live one of the most stressful lives. I said, stress comes to me and goes through me. I don't hold on to it. Amen. I said, matter of fact, I give stress. I don't hold on to it. I said, I don't allow it to do that to me. So let me give you a few thoughts this morning. And by the way, let me just insert this for free. Some of you want to blame somebody else because there's a strain in a relationship because of what did happen. In salvation, there is no past. Amen. Well, 20 years ago, you said that. Okay, get over it. Amen. Folks, there is no past in salvation. How about we go forward? Amen. Same thing with your children. Well, they do this all the time. Well, maybe next time they won't. But quit holding their past against them. Amen. It doesn't mean that the past shouldn't remind you to be looking for it. But don't anticipate it. Don't pre-program them to do it. Number one, what are the new things God gives us as a new creation? First of all, God gives us a new father. Matter of fact, the Bible says that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Well, if you're a son of God and I'm a son of God, guess who our father is? God. Say, how do you know that, preacher? Because John chapter 8, verse number 44, says that you are of your father, the devil. He is a liar, and there is no truth in him. Those that are lost, those that are dying without Christ, are living with a father called the devil. He is a liar. He is a deceiver. And when you got saved, you got a new daddy. Whew. I thank God for my daddy. He's 85 years old. He's homesick today. My daddy's got dementia. Breaks my heart. It really does. My brother and I have had to make some hard decisions. You ought to take that man's keys from him. Been there. You ought to make some of the life-changing decisions we've made in the last week or two. And I get it. But can I tell you something? I still love my daddy. Whoever said once a man, twice a boy, they almost got it right. It's once a man, twice a teenager. Because he's still big enough to talk back at you. Can I tell you something? I love my dad. But I have an eternal father that will never change. He'll never lose his faculties. We no longer are under the lies and the evil of the darkness of this world. Folks, some of you depress yourself by reading the news too much. Or watching the, I haven't watched the news in years. Say, why? Why do I want to sit there and listen to people puke in my ear? Sorry, vomit. We don't have to be under the selfish, only see this world, feelings and emotions of the devil. I'm so sick and tired of people in our country today. Well, I'm offended. Well, bless God, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Amen. Say, well, what are you going to do when you knock on doors and people don't want to hear it, preacher? Good to go to the next one. Amen. You say, well, what if they call the police? Go, let them call the police. It's my constitutional right. We've already called them. They already know. They're for it. They're not against it. But can I tell you something? Ain't nobody going to call the police on me and scare me away. Say, well, what if they get offended? I'd rather them get offended and get the truth than to be unoffended and die and go to hell without the truth. Everybody doing all right? Say, well, what about COVID? That's why we stayed open. I'm not afraid of it. There were people getting sick for thousands of years before COVID. Everybody doing all right? I didn't take anybody's temperature. I don't want somebody taking mine. I ain't taking yours. You could wear a mask. You didn't have to wear a mask. Up to you. Say why? Because that's called America. I wasn't afraid. Now, I can't tell you that every week I didn't walk out here waiting for the police to stop. Everybody doing okay? All right. Now hang in there. We have a God of love, light, and truth. What are we afraid of? Amen. What are we afraid of? Let me read what God said. Romans chapter 8, you don't need to turn there. I'll read it right out of the Bible, the King James Bible. If you don't have one, just keep it shut. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. Old man. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified also together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present times are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. The preacher, somebody got mad at me when I knocked on their door. Oh, come here, let me burp you. Man, I've had dogs sicked on me. I've had guns pointed in my face. I've had the police called on me. I've had mother-in-laws chase me. I mean, I've had all kinds of things. Can I tell you something? I don't call that persecution. That's just stupid people. Let's face it. You got to go through some of that. Yeah, but let's talk about the tens and hundreds of thousands of people that have been saved because of it. You focus on the one time somebody said something mean to you. God bless you. Who was it? Ms. Martha, God bless your heart. Can I tell you something? I'm so glad that I have a heavenly Father that's as great as he is. And let me just say right here, I'm sick and tired of everybody using his name as a curse word. How come they don't use Allah with the curse words? How come they don't use Muhammad with the curse words or Buddha? You say, preacher, what do you say? Those things. When somebody starts cursing my God, say, hey, how about you use Allah's name instead of my God? Amen. Well, that's not politically correct. Good. They're not spiritually correct. Number two, I got to hurry here. Salvation not only gives us a new father, salvation gives us a new song. Psalm 40, I love this. Psalm 40, it's in here. There it goes. Verse number 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Can I tell you something? We're not supposed to be singing the songs of the world and the devil. Right. We're not supposed to have the world's music. The world's music is about the world. Back in the 70s and 80s, Baptist preachers and other preachers, they were playing rock albums backwards, trying to find hidden messages. Well, they started it with country music and found out you got your dog back, you got your truck back, got your wife back. Why in the world do we drown ourselves? The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes 7:5 in the song of fools. Amen. Our children shouldn't be looking to people like Taylor Swift. Say why? It's ungodly. The country, the rock, the rap, the hip hop, and the quote unquote Christian contemporary. Do you realize that the term Christian rock is an oxymoron? Yep. Rock and roll is a term defined in the 1950s by a man, and it was in reference to a vulgar act. That's like saying we have a godly devil. There's no such thing. Well, it's got God's words with the devil's music. Guess who wins? Amy Grant's an idiot. Well, I want to be a bridge between the world and God's music. And look where Amy Grant ended up. I happen to know a preacher. He was in an airport witnessing to people while he was traveling. He started witnessing to a lady and she said, do you know who I am? And the pastor happened to be there. He said, Doc, do you know who that is? He said, no. He gave the name. He said, still don't know who it is. He told him what she did for a living. Her three kids were there. He said, ma'am, do you know for sure that if you died, you go to heaven? She said, oh yeah, I got saved as a child. He said, what about your kids? They were teenagers. She said, I don't know whether they're saved or not. He said, bring them over here. That preacher sat in an airport, opened his Bible, and won Amy Grant's children to Christ because she couldn't do it. What kind of bridge did she leave? She almost let her own kids fall off. Everybody doing okay? All right, hang on. You say, well, preacher, what kind of music? Well, what you've heard here today hadn't been too awful bad. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 19 says this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart as to the Lord. Our music is not about ourselves. It's to bring praise and honor and glory to God. Music about ourselves is music about sinners. You know, please don't take this the wrong way. Talking about how sick people are tends to make you not feel very good. Y'all know what I mean? There are some people I could walk up and say, you feeling okay today? Yeah, why? You don't look so good. Oh, I don't? Well, maybe I'm not feeling so good. I can talk them into going home sick. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Some of you, your music does the same thing. You get angry and you turn on angry people to make you calm. And it's all it does is make you angrier. You start putting songs on and start glorifying God, and that anger's got to go away, and you got to get yourself right with God so that you can keep on going. A Christian's music ought to be different than the world. The definition of church, a called out assembly. The church is not supposed to look like the world. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. We're not to have the world's influence in the church. We're supposed to take God's influence to the world. Amen. The church is more worldly than the world was 50 years ago. Moving on. Number three. Salvation not only gives us a new father, gives us a new song. Ooh, I love this. It gives us new compassion, gives us new passion in life. Lamentations chapter 3, right after the book of Jeremiah, many of you would know these verses. Hang on here. My fingers are not working like they should. Lamentations 3 verse 22 says this. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because of his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Did you know the devil and the world want everyone to live by their emotions? I am so upset at my generation. Well, I just don't feel. My dad didn't give a rip how I felt. If I'd have looked at my dad and he'd say, take the trash out, and I'd say, Dad, I don't feel like it. I do remember saying that one time. He said, come here, I'll give you a feeling. Yeah. And he did. He applied the Board of Education to the seed of knowledge, amen? He said, did you feel that? I said, yes, sir. He said, now you got your feeling, now go obey. I never said I didn't feel like doing it again. Because I didn't like the feeling, amen, Brother Mike? We live by our emotions. Oh, God forbid we should make a child cry. Shoot. My dad would tell you, God forbid if you don't make a kid cry. Say why? Because we've lived by our emotions way too much. Emotions are spice. Life is the entree. You can't live on spice alone. Go home today, open up the spice cupboard, sit down, pour it all on a plate, and eat that for lunch today. The preacher, can't do that. Neither can you live your life that way either. God gave you your feelings and emotions, but not to run your life, but to enhance your life. To bring flavor, to bring spice to your life, not to run your life. I love what Mr. Anders said. He doesn't care what they think. Going to live by principle. That's what God said we're all supposed to do. Boy, that's good stuff. Salvation helps us see long term and not get stuck in the past. Philippians 3:13-14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I know, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Behold, I press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Can I tell you something? Let's quit looking backwards at what was. Every kid needs to learn what it means to cry because they're hurt. They need to know how to lose a ball game and keep score. They ought to not get a trophy because they lost. Be doing okay? Not everybody in the class is supposed to get a participation award. Amen. I refuse at Grace Baptist Church where every kid's going to get an award. Say what? Because if you didn't earn it, you don't get it. Everybody, I feel like I'm an island all by myself. There was a day in America where this was normal. Even for lost people. Who ever heard of having a ball game and not keeping score? Shoot, in my day we played a game called Smear the Alphabet Soup Person. I'm not kidding. We played Cowboys and Indians. We made stick guns. We used our cap guns. Sometimes, never mind. Good night. We played it at school. Now a kid can chew a piece of bread into looking like a gun and he gets suspended for having a firearm. There's not a piece of bread in the world that's going to hurt anybody. Amen. Or a Pop-Tart. God help us. If education's the answer to everything, instead of getting rid of the guns, let's bring the guns to the school and educate the kids how to use them.
Amen.
Let's put it back where they live. Educate, educate, educate. Okay, let's put the guns in the school so that nobody's unarmed and nobody's going to come in there and start shooting.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? No, we'd rather teach them by the news how to go in and break into these schools and kill so many people. Just thought I'd throw that out there. That wasn't even in my notes. Number four, salvation gives us a new heart and a new spirit. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse number 31. Give me just a second here. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse number 31 says this. Come on. There we go. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? When you got saved, God gave you a new heart, and he gives you a new spirit. A new heart. Did you know that the devil tries to kill your heart and your spirit?
Yes.
Romans chapter 1, God said, in Genesis chapter 3, in the day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. And Satan comes along and says, Eve, look at it. It'll make you wise. You could be like God. You could be your own God. You could know good and evil for yourself. You could choose what's right and wrong. You don't need God. It's good for food. It's pretty. Smells good. It'll taste good. Emotions. Feelings. Yeah. And they thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. They did. God comes down and says, Adam, where are you? He said, we're hiding. He said, why? Because we were naked and I was ashamed. He said, who told you? He said, did you disobey me? He said, God, the woman thou gavest me. She did it. Adam blamed God and Eve without ever blaming himself. God, the woman that thou gavest me. Not my fault. One of my dad's favorite stories. We only had Josh at the time. He was probably about 3. He came out of the room. I didn't do it. He didn't even have a brother or sister yet. I didn't do it. Okay, what didn't you do? Sound familiar? The day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. The devil wants to kill your heart, your spirit. Romans chapter 1, a very, very pronounced statement is made in verse number 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. and their foolish heart was darkened. You keep reading, you find out this is about the Sodomites. This is about the alphabet soup crowd, the rainbow crowd. They are vile, they're evil, and they're preying on children. They're trying to teach children that there's no such thing as a man and a woman. Well, there's two bulls don't have a cow. Hate to tell you, two roosters aren't having eggs. You put two bulls in a pen, you're not going to have babies. You're going to have two dead bulls. Or one dead one and one that's just about dead. Say why? Because there is a difference. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. When you were born, your birth certificate shouldn't have said to be determined. Everybody doing all right? Animals have more sense than sinful humans. Say why? Because their foolish heart is darkened. And the devil has darkened it to where people reason it out. They want to get rid of all the Civil War stuff. Can I tell you why? Not because of what it, by the way, they don't even know what the Civil War was about. They say it's about slavery. That's stupid. Had nothing to do with it. Civil War was states' rights versus federal rights. Everybody doing okay? And the word slave in the 1800s didn't mean what a slave means now. They've changed the meaning. Original intent. And watch this. But man can now reason. Well, the heart wants what the heart wants. Jeremiah says that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Don't you follow your heart? You follow the word of God. Don't you follow your feelings? You follow the word of God. Romans or Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 18 says this. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Sound familiar? We live in a world that is blind to the truth. It is amazing to me in this generation as I knock on doors and talk to people about Christ, how little they know about the Bible. How little they know about Christ. I'm meeting people in America who grew up in America that don't even know who Jesus Christ is, other than a curse word. Salvation gives us a new heart, a new spirit. People think you're creepy because you knock on their door and tell them about Jesus. It's shocking to this new generation. Guess what? I don't give a flip. I'm still doing it. I kind of believe the old George Bush, shock and awe. Amen. Next, salvation turns us from the old man to the new man. I love this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Listen to me very carefully. When you get saved, you go from being a sinner, trusting your own righteousness, trusting your own goodness, come to a truth realizing that you can't pay it, that you need somebody to pay that price for you, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. He left heaven, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless, righteous life. He shed his blood at Calvary. He died. He was buried. And he conquered death, resurrected. Amen. He paid our sin debt for us. And the moment you trust that as your trip to heaven, watch this, you're trusting him and not yourself. Amen. But can I tell you something? After you're saved, you're still a sinner. You don't lose the sin nature, you add a new nature to it. You're still going to have the old man fighting with the new. But how about you bury the old man? It's to pass away. Let's quit going to the graveyard and digging up the bones and reminding ourselves about it. Everybody doing okay? Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put on the new man. See, well, preacher, you're not perfect either. No, but I put on the new man. Put off the old, put on the new. I choose what I put off and put on, just like you do. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 10 says this. As soon as I get there. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You're not going to get the new man by going to the world's schools or listening to the world's news. You're going to get the new man from the old book. By the only giver of life, who is God. The new man has a spirit that allows the Holy Spirit to produce fruit in you. See, the moment you got saved, watch this. Not only was your sin wiped away and brought you to zero, it justified you. But he imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ into your life. You'll stand before God as righteous as Jesus Christ. But he gave us a new spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit then that it was imputed to us. It was placed in us. Jesus does not come live in your heart. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. But when you got saved, the Holy Spirit moved in, and it is by his spirit that our spirit communicate. Amen. We talk through the Holy Spirit. He gains access to God for us and communicates that to God for us. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You know, that's why Galatians chapter 5 is there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, meekness. Against such there is no law. Can I tell you something? You can't produce that. That has to be produced by the Holy Spirit. You can use it, and the more you use it, the more he replenishes it. When I bought my new truck, they filled it with gas. But when it ran out of gas, I didn't go to the dealership and buy a new truck. I hadn't made the first payment on it, this one. So what'd you do? I went and put more gas in it. That's what the Spirit is in man. You're the gas tank, and as you use it, the Holy Spirit keeps filling it up for you. And it doesn't cost $350 a tank either. You see? But if you go before that, it talks about the works of the flesh. That's the old man. Those are the things that we're supposed to die to. So, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, today's the day. Become a new creature. I didn't say you're going to become perfect. I didn't say you'd become sinless. None of us are. But before God, you could stand before him righteous. Because it's not by works of our righteousness which saves us, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Isn't it amazing? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. We like new things. Matter of fact, most of you love new things. That's why you're so in debt. But can I tell you something? Let's quit going to the graveyard and digging up the old. Let's quit digging up the past. Ours or somebody else's. You know what bitterness is? Going to the graveyard. You know what lack of forgiveness is? Going to the graveyard. Shoot, once she's buried, let her be buried. Once it's gone, let it be dead. You're not going to go down to the cemetery and break open a casket and do CPR and bring anybody back to life. That's the way we're supposed to be with our old man and put on the new. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. You may not know this, but I helped you today. I did. We get so bogged down by our past. Well, bless God, if you're saved, there is no past. Just keep looking ahead. We have a whole eternity. Let's start working towards eternity. Let's start living eternal life now, not wait until we die. That is the boldness that you have as a Christian.